When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
To the Fountain Blitz ACC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, the calm before the storm. Games this coming Saturday, week zero kicks off in the conference, along with games next Thursday and Friday night. But give me your thoughts about where the ACC stands against the Power Four conferences.
Well, I mean, it's. I think it's a distant third. I mean, whether you're talking Big 12 or talking ACC, I still think there's 1A and 1B. I mean, Big Ten, SEC, number of national championships, number of teams in the NFL draft, number of teams, the strength of teams from top to bottom. ACC is doing a great job. Clemson is back in national championship contender. They're right back where they were. We'll see if they go very far, but they have a national championship caliber team, and everybody else is a little bit below that.
Yeah, you see Clemson in the AP top 25 ranked right there, number four overall, 12-1 odds to potentially win a national championship. Cade Klubnik, Dabo Sweeney looking to get back to an ACC championship. They faced off against SMU, won that matchup, and lost in the semifinal first round against the Texas Longhorns. You have three teams in the AP top 25, Clemson at number four, you have Miami at number 10, and then SMU at 16th overall. Is it possible that we could see some other teams like Louisville or potentially Pittsburgh crack the top 25 by the end of the season?
Yeah, I think Louisville, I still like Georgia Tech, but you can't. Pittsburgh has good people, but I think you've got your basically Miami does not play Clemson during the season. I would think those two are going to be in the top, but then you've got SMU and you've got Louisville with a new quarterback, but a quarterback coach for a head coach who does a great job with quarterbacks. And then Georgia Tech finished so strong last year, beating Miami and then coming to eight overtimes with Georgia. They're coming off a positive high note at the end. And so I think all those teams, and you got dark horse. You got Florida State. Who knows? Maybe they can flip it again. You got UNC North Carolina with a coach that's got everybody excited. So I do think there's some dark horse people, but in the ranking of the conference, there's Clemson, then there's Miami, and then there's two more, SMU Louisville, and then there's kind of everybody else.
Yeah, you mentioned Clemson right now, the dominant team, fourth overall. We talked earlier in the podcast about how dominant Dabo Sweeney has been, 180-47 overall. That's a 793 winning percentage. We talk about the dominance at home for Clemson dating back to 2015, 70-5 overall. That's a 933 winning percentage over the past decade. That's just dominant. And when you look at Clemson as a whole, they were 8-1 in the ACC last year, Coach. They won those games by an average margin of victory in the conference of 16.8 points per game. In order for this team to step up and potentially challenge, not just for an ACC championship, but more importantly, a national championship, that defense needs to get better this season.
Yeah, they do, and I think they are better. They've got the most productive people coming back, more starters with more talent coming back than almost anybody in the country. So they're projected defensively to be even better, much better. They hired Tom Allen from Penn State, the defensive coordinator, and coordinators do make a difference. Just like in chess, some people can move the pieces around better than others, put people in a place to be successful. He does a great job of doing that. So I think really defensively they're going to be better. The question is, with Phil Mapa gone, can they have a running tack to take all the load off of Cade Klubnik?
Yeah, when you talk about Clemson in the conference, 78-9 overall, dating back to 2015. They've been a dominant team. They got back to an ACC championship last year, battled back against SMU and really dominated that matchup early and often, and that's why they made the college football playoff. Another team that has high expectations almost each and every year are the Miami Hurricanes, Coach. Every year, this is going to be the Hurricanes' shot to potentially win an ACC championship, get back to the college football playoff. They were there with Cam Ward, lost down the stretch to Georgia Tech, and more importantly, Syracuse. Cam Ward is gone, but Carson Beck is now the guy. Can Mario Cristobal and the Hurricanes get back to national prominence this season?
Well, Mario Cristobal understands that you got to have a quarterback that can take you to the top. I don't think that has to be the best quarterback in the country. I think it has to be a great leader. Look at what Georgia did in their national championship years. You got to have a quarterback. Carson Beck's got enough stuff. He's had a lot of success. He's played much tougher competition while in the SEC. He'll be a battle-tested veteran quarterback in a program where they have said, we're going to take whatever it takes. We're going to spend an NIL. We're going to bring in athletes. And, yes, they lost a lot of talent. But, man, they brought some great people in.
Coach, they only have two double-digit winning seasons dating back to 2003. Yeah. It came in 2017 with Mark Richt. They were a 10-3 overall team. And then last year, 10-3 overall. But I mentioned the two losses down the stretch. They got abused offensively by Georgia Tech and, more importantly, Syracuse in that matchup. The defense fell apart. We need a better effort. I agree with you that defense hasn't played well over the past three or four seasons. They're not the Ed Reed, Jonathan Vilma type of teams. And even the boosters and supporters always think that Miami is a prominent elite program. It's a long way off from the days of Jimmy Johnson, Larry Coker, and Butch Davis, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. But if you think back, the thing that Miami has quit doing is playing great defense. Back in those days, they always had a great quarterback. Gozar, so many Testaverde. You can go back, all the great quarterbacks, but they had Ray Lewis. They had incredible defensive talent, and that's what made them great. And if you look at championship programs and championship teams, it's usually the head coach that understands you start by having a great defense. You know, Lincoln Riley has had a great production on offense, but he could never win the national championship. I don't think you can just be a scoring offense, and when you get to the national championship level of playoff, you're playing great opponents with great talent. You've got to be able to be balanced, run the football, and play defense. Miami has got to play better defense this year. They went out and got a new coordinator. I think they've got to understand that. And if they go, and I think they will go to the conference championship because, again, they don't play Clemson during the regular season. I think they're loaded in talent, but are they going to get back to where they were? That's got to come over a few more than 1 year, I promise you.
And it starts week number one against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. The game is in South Beach. Carson Beck steps up, transferring from Georgia. Can he be the quarterback that he was a couple of years ago in leading the Georgia Bulldogs to an SEC championship? We'll see. We'll break down that game a little bit later next week as we inch closer to week number one. You mentioned Louisville, and I find it interesting, yeah. Coach, about Jeff Brohm. This is a team that challenged Florida State a couple of years ago in the ACC championship. He goes back to his alma mater, but this team has done it running the football and defensively. They're plus 850 to win a championship in the conference. Can they make some noise this year?
Miller Moss has come over from Southern Cal at the quarterback position. And again, Jeff Brohm is a genius with quarterbacks. He was a quarterback at Louisville. He always seems to get that quarterback. Maybe nobody knows about him or they haven't had a great year so far. he will make them a great quarterback. But I believe that's why Louisville will be close to the hunt, be in the hunt for the ACC championship by the end of the year.
That was a team that rushed for 185 rushing yards per game. Starting running back Isaac Brown does return 11 rushing touchdowns, average well over 5 yards per carry. And I mentioned the defense for Louisville. Very physical at the point of contact, especially in the rush defense, rushing attack. They only allowed 132 rushing yards per game, only gave up 230 in the back end. They can be a dark horse within the conference at plus 850 this coming season. When Coach and I return, we have big games on tap. Week number 0, Stanford, Hawaii. We also have Georgia Tech going on the road to face off against the Colorado Buffaloes and their head coach, Deion Sanders, coming right back on the Bowden Blitz. Back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden breaking down week 0 in the ACC. There's nothing better than a game in Hawaii. Stanford travels to Hawaii this coming Saturday, 7:30 kick. Coach, Hawaii, a 2.5-point home underdog. We see the total set at 50.5. Can Stanford step up with their new interim head coach, Frank Reich, and win this matchup?
Well, I think the fact that they do have a new head coach, and they have a new head coach from the NFL that brings in that experience and that excitement. The players look to him as someone that he knows more. He comes from the NFL. He knows what it takes to be successful. Sometimes that puts the excitement in the players and it brings them to another level. That's what they're counting on. I mean, they brought in Andrew Luck to be their GM, and so they've got that NFL atmosphere that I think is very attractive to players out on the West Coast for Stanford. And they've been 3-9 4 years in a row. They've been in a funk now. And I think it's a time for Stanford to make that move, because like Duke, maybe Vanderbilt, they have to kind of do things just right to be successful in the ACC or at the Power Five level.
I agree with you. Now, this matchup played out a couple of years ago with Troy Taylor making his first head coaching start for the Cardinal. They won that matchup on the road as a double-digit favorite. They did win in the fourth quarter, stepped up, and really kept Schrager and that offense in check from a defensive perspective. But you look at Stanford. They were 1-5 on the road last year. How important is it to pick up a road win to start your season? And is there something from a coaching perspective that you have to do a little bit differently now with Frank Reich at the helm to win games on the road in college?
Well, being a new head coach and taking over a losing program, a program that's been losing, this game is really critical for the players to buy in immediately to where he wants to go with this program, to the things that he does, he wants to do with the program. If they could get a win on the road, underdog against Hawaii, and get a win, you're talking about great buy-in. You're talking about things that began to make things happen down the road with his football team. So this is a big, big game. It's not the answer to his season or the answer to his career, but if you want to jumpstart the success for that program, this is a big, big game to get the confidence of those players.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think when we look at this matchup on the flip side for Hawaii with their head coach, Timmy Chang, a former player, he was extended in the offseason to 2026. He does have a redshirt freshman quarterback, Micah Alejado, starting. He's a lefty. He can fling it, I'll say that. And that's got to be the matchup if you're Hawaii, because they had one of the worst rushing offenses in all of college football last year, only averaging 97 rushing yards per game. And the weakness for Stanford was in the secondary, the back end. They allowed 280 passing yards per game and 66% completion percentage. So from an offensive perspective, you got to believe that Hawaii is going to attack Stanford over the top.
Well, they will. Now, I think any team that averages so little in rushing, they're going to try to improve their rushing just so they don't always throw it on third and long or throw it when the defense knows you're going to throw it. Hawaii, though, their tradition, their history is throwing the football. So sometimes their running stat is not so much because they can't run, is they don't want to run. They're impatient. They want to play that Hawaii style of offense. But I guarantee you, it'll start with Stanford going out there and making sure what little bit they try, they've got to shut down that run to make sure at least the defensive secondary has a chance to be out there with long yardage situations where they can play pretty comfortable and not have to worry about underneath things like that.
And you look at Hawaii last year, they were a 4-3 home team. Three of the losses, though, two of them came very close. 3 points to UCLA to start the year. They lost that matchup 16-13. They lost to UNLV later in the year by 2 points and lost to Boise State by 21. So they lost their three home games by an average margin of defeat of 8.6 points per game. So if they get that type of effort, they should be in this matchup. When you look at Stanford as well, Ben Gulbranson, the former quarterback at Oregon State, gets the star coach. It's now a new scheme with Frank Reich. What can Reich do to get Gulbranson into a little bit of a rhythm early on going up against Hawaii's defense?
Well, I mean, obviously, if you want to help a quarterback out who's in a new system, run the ball some. Make sure it's not pass every single down where the pressure is all on the quarterback. Let him mix that run in and get in the game comfortably. That's what you would like to happen. What you don't want to happen is to play too conservatively and get behind Hawaii where you have to go out there and throw it every down. So the main thing is if the coach can get some balance on offense, not put all the pressure on that quarterback, I think you'll see him having a better chance to get better towards the second half and throughout the season.
We'll see how this game plays out. I will say this. I think it's points aplenty. I mentioned the secondary for Stanford being attacked. Every time they allowed over 300 yards passing, they were 1-3 last year and lost those games by an average margin of defeat of 13.3 points per game. I'll take Hawaii laying the 2.5 points, Coach, and I'm going over the total. How do you see it playing out?
Well, you know what? I mean, I'm going to go with Stanford just because of the unknown. But I'm going to say this. The hardest games to bet on are the first game of the season. What's going to be how the team takes the new coach? So many unknowns coming in that it's hard to see how they're going to react to a new coach. They could go one way or the other. But I think they're going to go with the new coach. I think they're going to believe in him. I think you're going to see a great start by Stanford and the start of a new era at Stanford University.
The other game takes place later in the week. It's Georgia Tech in Colorado. You look at Georgia Tech right now across multiple books, Coach. 3.5 point road favorites against Deion Sanders, new quarterback Caden Salter early on. How do you see this game playing out?
Well, I tell you, though, Georgia Tech, if they continue like they finished up last season, they were on fire. I mean, they play, like I say, beat Miami, Georgia to 8 overtimes, a lot of confidence. They have a toughness about their team because of their head coach and the toughness that he brought to the team. And I think they are in an upward trend with their program going into this season. Colorado breaking in a new quarterback. Deion's had to go through some personal health issues. I know he's excited. But you know what? Colorado probably runs worse than anybody out there. They don't give a flip about, 60 yards a game rushing or 60-something, not enough rushing attack. I just think Georgia Tech's going to go out there and take it to them.
To Coach's point, Colorado averaged 65 rushing yards per game, only 2.4 yards per carry. We'll dive back into this game after break. Keep it where it is. Continuing the conversation on the Bowden Blitz ACC edition, we left off talking about a huge game in the conference, Georgia Tech on the road in Boulder to take on Deion Sanders and the Buffaloes. Caden Salter, the former Liberty quarterback, should get the start in that matchup. Coach brought up how Colorado runs the football, 65 rushing yards per game, only 2.4 yards per carry last year. Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter now playing in the NFL, but they could throw the football, 318 yards per game last year. Is that a cause of concern, knowing that you have more of a mobile quarterback than you did with Shedeur? Caden Salter was a 1,000-yard rusher at Liberty, Coach. Do you see that being a different factor or matchup in terms of the game plan?
Well, the key was going to be, is Colorado going to be committed to using the run part of their quarterback, running him effectively, adding the running game? You know, I've just got to ask myself, is it that they're just so enamored with throwing the football that they ignore the fact that you've got to be balanced? Because I think that's going to be the key. You got a quarterback that's mobile, a little more of a dual threat. Shedeur was not a scrambler, but he also took a lot of sacks, threw the ball a bunch of times. And I think that's going to have to, that's going to take a little bit of a change of philosophy, not just a change of talent. And we'll see that, because what they're going to see on the other side of the ball, they're going to see, you know, Haynes King and Jamal Haynes, the running back, putting that ball on the ground and picking up tough yardage for that Georgia Tech team.
Georgia Tech last year averaged 187 rushing yards per game. They also were very good in terms of passing the football with Haynes King, one of the more precise quarterbacks in the conference, did battle some injury issues throughout the season, but they made it to a bowl game. They knocked off Florida State in week number one, challenged the Georgia Bulldogs, and lost that matchup in 8 overtimes, and then lost the bowl matchup to Vanderbilt and Clark Lee. But this is a team, Coach, that played physical against the better teams on their schedule, and I expect them to run the football. Here's the main issue for me, though. Georgia Tech last year struggled on the road or on a neutral field site. They were 2-6 in those type of situations and lost those games by an average margin of defeat of 9.6 points per game. The fact that this game is played in Boulder, I'm inclined to take the points with the Buffaloes.
Well, I'm not going to. I think it's early in the season. I don't think the weather there is going to be a factor, or the high level of air up in Denver. I still like the fact that Georgia Tech ended the season so strong, and they take that momentum with them into Colorado. I think it's going to be at least an eight win season for Georgia Tech. I see them getting to 8 wins, having an outstanding year. And if things go right, and I think they will win this game, they could see 9 games.
Coach likes Georgia Tech. I like Colorado. We'll see how that game plays out later next week. Another matchup in the conference, Duke takes on Elon. It's a large spread, a large total, but this is a team last year that Manny Diaz led to a 9-4 overall record. Their quarterback, Malik Murphy, did transfer out. He's at Oregon State. They get the Tulane transfer, Darian Mensah, back. When you look at Duke as a whole, Coach, not in terms of just this game against Elon, we know they're potentially going to win just by how much, but can Duke be a contender in the ACC big picture?
You know, I'm going to say this. I think maybe a year or two. I don't think consistently Duke is going to be a contender for the ACC championship. I think some programs don't have that in their makeup, in the depth of the program, the history, the quality of talent they attract. I think Duke right now, they're at the pinnacle of their game. 9 wins last year. Manny Diaz has done a great job. Elko did a great job. And they are at that point where this is, to me, when Duke's having great success, these are the kind of years they have. They may pull a championship. You know, in 1989, Spurrier won the ACC. Before that, it was the 50s and the 60s. It's hard for a team like Duke, where it's academically difficult to get a lot of players in. Not like basketball, where one or two guys can make you a great team. Academically, you've got to get a lot of players in that also can compete in that classroom. And I think it's always going to be a little bit difficult for a Stanford or a Duke to be a contender for their conference year in and year out. Can Manny Diaz pull it off once every now and then? I think so. But it would be hard to sustain that in a program that has such a difficult time getting a lot of players into school.
The other two games of note, East Carolina takes on NC State. That's a rematch of last year's bowl game. How do you see that one playing out, Coach?
No, I think NC State gets all over them. You know, Dave Doran's been there 12 years, 10 bowls, went 6-7 last year, and then he had to go play a cross-state team, East Carolina, and lost to them in the Military Bowl. They've been thinking about East Carolina all offseason.
We'll come back next week on the Bowden Blitz. We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend, everyone.